Hello and welcome to BICS is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BICS Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BICSography website. In the BICS is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BICS Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BICS's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program will be the recordings that Don Murray made with Joe Venuti in 1927 and 1928. He made a total of 10 recordings and I will play all of them. Let me read a short biography of Don Murray from Who's Who of Jazz by John Chilton. He was born in Joliet, Illinois, on June 7, 1904, died in Los Angeles, California on June, I don't have a date here, I think it's early June, 1929. Son of a minister, attended Englewood High School in Chicago, later studied at Northwestern University. Played tenor with the New Orleans Rhythm Kings around 1923, then moved to Detroit to join Gene Goldkett, doubling baritone, except for absences through illness, remained with Gene Goldkett until September 1927. During this period, made recordings with BICS Beiderbecke, later did extensive freelance recordings, worked in brief-lived Adrian Rollini Big Band, September-October 1927, then regular work in Broadway theater orchestras, mainly under direction of Don Voorhees, 1928. Joined Ted Lewis as a member of the Lewis Band, took part in the filming of Is Everybody Happy at the Warner Brothers Studio, Hollywood. Whilst working on this film, Murray met his death. He was found unconscious. The head injuries that he sustained were alleged to have resulted from his falling against a parked car. He was taken to hospital and appeared to be making a recovery, but ignored doctor's orders and resumed drinking. He died shortly afterwards. There is a lot of myth associated with the death of Don Murray. I believe we discussed this in the BICSography forum, so if you go there and search under Don Murray, you will find quite a bit of information. I'm not going to tell you much about Joe Venuti in terms of his biography. I may have devoted a program to him in the past. I can't remember now. If I haven't, I certainly will devote one in the future. But I would like to read the first few sentences in the magnificent booklet that comes with the mosaic set entitled The Classic Columbia and OK, Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang Sessions. These are written by Mike Peters, guitarist, and Joe Venuti, and Eddie Lang specialist. Anyway, here is what he writes. As Giovinuti and Eddie Lang were preparing to record an original composition based on the chord changes of Tiger Rag, it had been unsuccessfully performed in the studio a month earlier, they wondered if the song would benefit from the addition of another instrument. Joe liked Eddie's suggestion that a piano would free him to play more fills and take a single string solo. Weighing their options as to who would be best suited to join them, both agreed that it should be none other than Bix Beiderbecke. Famed for his hot cornet playing, Bix was also a sensitive pianist. With Beiderbecke on the date, he could relieve Eddie of his rhythm duties and, if desired, take a solo chorus on a cornet. So this is how the legendary Bix came to record Stringing the Blues with Venuti and Lang on Friday morning in October 1926. Joe recounted the story a half a century later, lamenting that the recording was never issued and later destroyed, it being too modern for the time. It didn't matter to Joe that Beiderbecke may not have been in New York at the time, or that they didn't use a piano for the session. Joe Venuti loved to torment with the tall tales. Okay, let's get started with the music. What I intend to do is play all 10 recordings that Don Murray made with Joe Venuti, but I will start with Don Murray's first recording, and we'll end with Don Murray's last recording. First recording that Don Murray made was on July 17, 1923 in Richmond, Indiana, with the New Orleans Rhythm Kings. The tune was Sobbing Blues, Paul Maris on cornet, George Brunis on trombone, Leon Ruppolo clarinet, Jack Pettis C melody, Glenn Scoville alto sax, tenor sax, Don Murray clarinet, tenor sax, Jelly Roll Morton on piano, Bob Gillette on banjo, Chink Martin on brass bass, and Ben Polak on drums. So let's listen then to Don Murray's first recording, the New Orleans Rhythm Kings, 1923. Thank you. That is a great tune, magnificently performed by the New Orleans Rhythm Kings. All right, now let's go into the 10 recordings that Don Murray made with Joe Venuti. First, I will play Penn Beach Blues, recorded on November 15, 1927, and this will be followed by four-string Joe. These are the Joe Venuti's Blue Fourth with Don Murray on clarinet and baritone, Joe Venuti on violin, Frank Signorelli on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar, possibly Justin Ring on cymbals. The discography that I'm using is that in the booklet, the Mosaic booklet about Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang. The first recording that Joe Venuti's Blue Four made was on June 28, 1927, and the four were Adrian Rollini, Joe Venuti, Arthur Schott, and Eddie Lang. By now, by the time this recording was made, November 1927, the Adrian Rollini band had folded and Adrian Rollini had gone to England. So Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang had to find a new instrumentalist to play the parts that would have been played by Adrian Rollini, and obviously Don Murray was a very good choice. Let me read what Don Peters says about this session. When Venuti and his mob landed in Atlantic City during the summer, they set up residence in one of the many family-run guest houses around Pennsylvania Avenue. The avenues ran east to the water, all were named after states, and one only needed walk a few blocks to be on the beach. It was in the vicinity where Pennsylvania Avenue met the sand that Joe and company liked to carve themselves a little slice of beach. Venuti finally got around to honoring it in song for this date, which brought a couple of old friends into the fold. Saxophonist Don Murray, who Joe first met in 1924 while with Gold Cat in Detroit, and Frank Signorelli on piano, a paisano from one of their first visits to Manhattan in the early part of the decade. Murray fits like a glove on baritone and clarinet, as does Signorelli, though the violinist graded him a Dixieland player, presumably not in Arthur Schott's league, few were. Still, this second team is every bit as good as the two new titles prepared for the session. All four instrumentalists were extremely inventive individuals and possessed the ability to create mini arrangements on the spot. This they did on a daily basis for the many small group sessions they were a part of, so Eddie's idea for an introduction on Penn Beach Blues finds everyone creating a part in and around the guitarist's riff. Murray comes up with an ascending bass line, Venuti mirrors the guitar with double stops, and Signorelli adds some spicy touches on the piano. Now I want to read a little something here about four-string Joe. Joe saw the violin as an accompanying and rhythm instrument as well. The driving force behind his playing was a big beat, which he applied every time he put bow to string. When he went to four strings, Joe expanded his improvising options and brought another dimension to his playing. He could now take on the role of an accompanist or rhythm player, and in him, each band found an instant string quartet. On four-string Joe, the band gets about as hoed down as possible for a bunch of city slickers, as Venuti spends all save the last chorus on four strings. He saws away at the violin, playing chords and punching out rhythmic phrases. In one very exciting moment, he and Murray on baritone shake things up during the violinist's second solo chorus. Eddie's single-string chorus contains two bars of hot picking, followed by another two measures of funky bends in the lower register. Okay, so let's listen then to the first recording that Don Murray made with Joe Venuti. This is November 15, 1927.
Thank you.
Let's continue in chronological order. This is now March 28, 1929. Jovinudis Blue 4. Correction, this is 1928, not 1929. Don Murray on baritone, Jovinudi on violin, Rube Bloom on piano now, Eddie Lang on guitar, and there is an unknown cymbalist and chime player. Let me read what Mike Peters says about this session. He says, up until this point, Joe and Eddie jointly recorded only original material for OK. This is our first cover of a pop tune. From this session onward, all Venuti Lang dates, save one, will include at least one pop tune. Both sides of OK 41025 benefit from having taken place in a small recording studio, which may have helped the engineers in positioning the four musicians, as this is the best recording balance to date. Murray's baritone sax, which he plays exclusively and brilliantly on this session, positively booms on both titles. During the first chorus of Dinah, it sounds as though he's playing arco bass. His legato is that creamy. The relaxed tempo still affords the quartet a great amount of interaction, which they impart with sensitivity. This is a true testament to their superior musicianship. That was, of course, Dinah, and the second tune is an original, Venuti Lang original. So let's listen then to Don Murray with Joe Venuti's Blue 4. So this is March 28, 1928.
Thank you.
That Wild Dog is one of the best Venuti Lang collaborations. Okay, now we move from the small four-group band to a full band. This is Joe Venuti and his New Yorkers with Ed Lang. We have Fred Fawcett Farrar and Leo McConville on trumpet, Charlie Butterfield on trombone, Arnold Brillhart, Max Farley, Herb Spencer, Don Murray on reeds, Joe Venuti on violin, Arthur Schott piano and celeste, Eddie Lang guitar, Hank Stern tuba, Chauncey Morehouse drums and orchestra bells, and Scrappy Lambert on vocal. These two recordings are arrangements by Fudd Livingston. The date is May 25th, 1928, New York City. I Must Be Dreaming, and then Taint So, Honey Taint So, a composition by Willard Robinson. The number of connections to Bix are amazing. Several of the musicians recorded with Bix, and of course the tune Taint So, Honey Taint So was recorded by Bix with Whiteman. According to the liners in the Mosaic set, it says the OK file lists William Dutton as vocalist on Taint So, Honey Taint So, but it is Scrappy Lambert. So let's listen then to Don Murray with the full New Yorkers band, Joe Venuti's New Yorkers band, May 25th, 1928.
tain so, honey, tain so. Tain so, honey, tain so. Tomorrow we'll bring something good, I know. Tain so, honey, tain so. No difference what your problem may be. Just look up, brother, and I'm sure you will see. Tain't so, honey, tain't so. The devil said yes, but the Lord said no. Tain't so, honey, tain't so.
Who do you think is the trumpet doing the obbligato behind the vocal here? There were two trumpet players there, Fozzie Farrar and Leo McConville. I think it's Leo McConville. Fozzie Farrar has the muted solos at the beginning and at the end of the recording, I think. Okay, let's continue then again in chronological order. Now we move to June 8, 1928, again, the big band, Jovinotti and his New Yorkers with Ed Lang. The New Yorkers here are Manny Klein and Leo McConville on trumpet, Charlie Butterfield on trombone, Arnold Brillhart, Max Farley, Fod Livingston, Don Murray on reeds, Jovinotti violin, Arthur Schott piano, Eddie Lang guitar, Hank Stern tuba, Chauncey Morehouse drums, it says possibly Billy Hillpot, and an unknown vocal. I will follow that with the recording from the same date, June 8, 1928. This is just like a melody out of the sky. According to Rost's jazz discography, the vocalists in Because My Baby and Just Like a Melody are Scrappy Lambert and Billy Hillpot. I don't know why in the liners for the Mosaic set they say Billy Hillpot, an unknown vocalist. Often Scrappy Lambert and Billy Hillpot play and recorded lots of duets in many recordings. Well, anyway, let's listen then to Don Murray with Jovinotti and his New Yorkers, June 8, 1928. Thank you. I looked up Ray Mitchell's discography of Eddie Lang and found that he assigns the vocalists in the two recordings that we just heard to Billy Hillpot and Scrappy Lambert. There are trumpet solos after the vocals in both of the recordings that I just played. There were two trumpet players there, Manny Klein and Leo McConville. Who do you think it is? Whoever it is, he sounds like Andy Sicris trying to sound like Bix. Okay, let's go now to the last recording session of Don Murray with Joe Venuti. This is June 14, 1928, Joe Venuti's Blue 4, Don Murray on baritone, Joe Venuti violin, Rube Bloom on piano and vocal on the first of the two selections that I'm going to play, Eddie Lang on guitar, Paul Grazzelli, or Justin Ring on the drums. So as I said, the first selection is The Man from the South. It's a composition by Rube Bloom, and there is a vocal by the composer. And then we'll follow that with a Venuti Lang original, Pretty Tricks. This is what Mike Peters tells us about Pretty Tricks. It's a number Venuti adapted from a bowing exercise. From it, he and Eddie devise a dreamy little piece with a catchy three-quarter feel. Bloom, whose first name Rube was pronounced Ruby, has much of the song's interlude to himself and delivers it in a quaint period style. When Eddie takes his turn playing Venuti's melody, the guitarist is faced with having to employ some fancy picking in order to pull off the tricky triplets, which are much better suited for a bow than a plectrum. So let's listen then to the last recording session of Don Murray with Joe Venuti. This is June 14, 1928.
Cigar in his mouth, so I knew that he was from the South. Tell you about this great big man from the South. Had a big cigar in his mouth, so I knew that he was from the South. Play it, son.
Thank you.
We've come to the last recording of today's session. This is Don Murray with Ted Lewis. Don Murray joined the Ted Lewis Band in early 1928 and was with Ted Lewis until his untimely death in June of 1929. This is his last recording, I mean Don Murray's last recording, entitled I Love You by Ted Lewis and his band, recorded in Los Angeles on June 5th, 1929. Mugsy Spaniard, Dave Klein on cornet, George Brunis, Harry Ruderman on trombone, Ted Lewis, clarinet, alto sax, leader and vocal, Don Murray, clarinet, alto sax, tenor sax, baritone, Saul Klein on violin, Frank Ross, piano, Tony Gerhardy, banjo or guitar, and Bob Escamilla on brass bass, and John Lucas on drums. There is an alto sax section between the vocals by Ted Lewis. I wonder if that's Don Murray. So let's listen then to Don Murray with Ted Lewis. Don's last recording, June 5th, 1929.
That action speaks louder than words. That saying is old, honey, and may be true. You know by my action how much I love you, and I just can't help telling you too. You know that I love you at dawning, the whole morning through, and I love you each afternoon. And honey, I love you at twilight, when the soft shadows creep. Oh, what makes the day end so soon? Oh, babe, I love you while sleeping, and you're in every dream. I love you, oh, I love you, I love you, what more can I do? And I'm sad, sad, 'cause I know that a lifetime's too short to tell you how much I love you. I do. Oh, I'm sad, sad, 'cause I know that a lifetime's too short to tell you how much I love you.
I hope you have enjoyed this program about Don Murray with Joe Venuti. Probably the most interesting thing is that most of the time Don Murray played baritone sax. We used to hear him with the Biggs and with Frank Trombauer and with Gene Golcat playing clarinet, but here the main instrument that he plays, and in some instances exclusively, is the baritone sax. He has a very nice sound and does a great job. Well, let's get back to Bix now. We have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.